Hey, man, how's it going? Am I on? Good morning, happy church. If you guys can be seated. Hey, Ken. So Lynn happened to mention that she feels the love in here today, and I do as well. This is great. Amen. This is where we find out more about each other. This is where we find out things we need to pray about for each other. We meet each other. This is very important. Just so you're aware, now that I'm speaking about this, the 3-minute break is, you know, you might look at it as, well, doesn't that separate worship from the Word? And doesn't worship prepare the heart to hear from God? And yes, it certainly does. But the way we look at it is, as we're speaking to God, then we're speaking to each other, and then, most importantly, at the end, we're listening for God. And so, not that any of that is segmented, and not that any of that doesn't happen altogether, because it certainly does. How many people hear from God when you're worshiping? I do as well, so it's not like it's separated, but we intentionally do that, and it's very important to us that you're hugging each other, that you're meeting each other. This is good stuff. God is honored by that. Amen? So, every single week, we make it a point to tell you about our circles of discipleship, right? Here again, the reason for that is because as a church, we commit to you that as leadership and also as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, whether that's when we assemble together on a Sunday morning or in life groups or events or anything like that, that we want to accomplish these 5 things. Who in here can name all 5? Raise your hand. You're going to get a special gift if you can come up here on the mic and name all 5. You get a gift. It's a really nice gift. And you can't bring like your bulletin or something. It's got to be all by yourself. Come on. Somebody. Jamie? You'll try it. Okay. I guess Jamie wants a special, special prize. It's a brand new study Bible. It's a really nice study Bible. Yes. I was going to give a can of pork and beans, but I thought, study Bible probably better. You probably want the pork and beans, don't you?
I like the pork and beans.
That's right. All right, you ready?
Okay. I think it's get known, get life, get together.
No.
No? Hold on. Get known, get life. Get others. Yes, thank
you. Don't help her. Don't help her.
Get food. No.
No. We should make that the 6th one, though, for sure.
Oh, are there clues?
No.
Oh, I said get together. Get connected.
Yes.
Yes.
One more.
Where's my other clue? Get going. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Get Duncan.
You have to share your study Bible with everybody. Here you go. You're welcome. Good job, Jamie. You guys are cheaters. But I love you anyway. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Help your fellow man. Well, here they are. Get known, get others, get life, get connected, get going. Today's service is brought to you by the Circle Get Going. Stepping into mission. What I want to talk about this morning really has to do with that. We're going to talk about Peter and John stepping into mission. And what I want to bring out is get going we think of as going to Africa, and it certainly is, but get going is getting among people. When you're among people, you get to meet them. You get to minister to them. You get to understand what they're going through. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about how Peter and John were out among people when a miracle happened. This morning, we're also going to talk about healing. How many people need healing in their body this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand raised. If you didn't raise your hand, how many people know somebody who needs healing in their body? Raise your hand. I'm pretty sure that's everybody. We either need healing in our body or we know of somebody who needs healing in their body. We're going to talk about that. In our society, there's many who believe that healing was just for the early church, that it was something that went away with the other gifts. We're a church that does not believe that. We believe just that, like in James chapter 5, we can call for the elders of the church. We can lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, and they will be healed. We see from Mark chapter 16 that these gifts follow those who believe, and one of them is laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We believe that. At the same time, you're still sick, right? You still have things that need to be healed. Have you prayed about it? Yes, I'm sure you have. I'm sure others have prayed for you too. And so we're not going to get really in depth about that, but just want you to know that we're going to look at this instant in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to talk about healing to a certain degree and realize that God does what God does. And sometimes it doesn't always make sense, right? My mom was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in May. She has been going through chemo treatments. I believe she's gone through 5 or 6. She just got a PET scan this past week. We don't know the results yet. But we know that cancer is in her body, and we've been praying. And I know that she's, and many of you know from reading the updates, she's been in and out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital. And there's a part of us that says, God, why? We're praying. We're believing. We're putting as much faith as we know to put into our prayers. Why isn't she being healed? Recently, she fell. The levels in her body, the cancer is eating her magnesium and all of her other levels, and it caused her to be weak, and she fell, and she hurt her knee, and they did a scope when she went to the hospital, and they found out that she had now cancer in her knee, in her bones. And so now she has lung cancer, and now evidently she had cancer in her knee. And I say had because we prayed and we laid hands on her. And right before she was going to go in for radiation, the type of cancer she has in her lungs and other parts in her body is the type that does not need radiation, that chemo does the trick oftentimes. But now that it's in her bone, they were going to do radiation. And they did several tests to confirm that it was cancer. They did one more test right before they were going to start radiation. And the radiologist looked at the test and said, we're not touching her with radiation. There's no cancer in her bones. Amen. Our God can still heal. Our God can still heal. And by no means do I want to take any glory away from God. But I just want to say this. He healed her of cancer in her bones, but she still has cancer in her lungs. I bring that up only to say that God chooses to heal when he chooses to heal. But he's called us as a church to believe him for the impossible every single time. And he does react. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John says one day, verse 1, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Something amazing happened. If you know this story, a beggar asks for money. They reach down and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. Peter reached out for his right hand. He stood up. Instantly, he walked. He did more than walk. He jumped, he leapt, he was running around. God does things. Do you realize that God is in the big picture? Things that we don't see, God is affecting change in different people's lives at his correct timing, and we don't always see it. He's in the big thing, but he's also into the details. Details matter, and details can speak to us. We are a church that believe in Scripture. We like to preach verse by verse through Scripture, and with that, you have to realize that details matter. That the physician, Luke, who wrote Acts about this healing, this is the first of 9 that are mentioned in the book of Acts. 9 healings. There certainly were more, but they chronicled 9 healings, 2 of which were raising somebody from the dead. We might look at it and say, well, that means that we're not supposed to rely on doctors. Did I mention that a physician wrote the book of Acts? That it's both. That God gives physicians wisdom and knowledge and understanding, a gift to aid in God's healing of the human body. We believe in both, but we give glory to Jesus every single time. Whether medicine, whether a surgery, heals us, or whether in this instant he's automatically, instantly healed. All the glory goes to Jesus. So, you need a mic? You need a mic?
You're here.
Should
you hear me?
Yeah.
You're here preaching the word to all of us. But I think right now we all need to pray for you and your mother and okay. your family.
Cool. Amen. Amen.
You're telling us a story about how the disciples came to a man who was crippled and healed him. You're hurting here. Your family is struggling. And your mother needs healing. It's not impossible. I'm shaking like a leaf. But I think this is what I need to do.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. This is one of our leaders Thank of the past of the church, okay? Everybody needs to be before him and say, we're with you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We reach out our hands and we pray that Sean and his family feel comfort. Whatever the outcome is, we know that God is in it.
Yes,
we know that his mother is a strong woman and she's doing the best that she can. We also allow you to give Sean and his family the words to let her know that she's in their thoughts, in their prayers, and she knows what's going to happen. Do not let her feel alone. Do not let her feel as though this is the end. Let her feel as though there will be glory on the other side.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Let us all understand that this is a story today that things are possible. We just have to believe. And that, you know, Sean has a lot on his mind, and he knows that, you know, things are going on in his personal life, but look at where he is right now. He's standing up in front of us with a smile on his face and the best that he can to give us a word for everybody else. But this guy needs something today for him. The pastoral staff here at Whistling Pines is a great staff. They give so much to everybody else. And the fact is they're people just like us. So we need to give them the strength that they need when they need it. And we all need to hold together and do our best to lift them up. So, Lord, we thank you and bless you for him and everybody else. And all the strong women also at the Ruth help.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. So, I know this was an interruption to the service and the message, but, I mean, my heart's pounding and I'm shaking like a leaf. So, I know it was the right thing to do. And, Sean, we love you. And God bless you, brother. Praise Amen.
Amen. Thanks for your obedience, man.
Father God, this is a loving mother that we're praying for. And cancer, you're just a name. But there's a name above your name.
Yes, Lord.
And at the name of Jesus Christ, we curse your power.
Yes,
command
Lord.
You to dry up and be gone from her body right now in
yes,
Jesus'
Jesus.
Name.
Thank you, Father.
And Lord, we pray that you restore her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet right now. In Jesus' precious name we
Thank
pray.
You, Father. Praise
amen
Lord.
And amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Wow. Man. I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he wants to just shut down the message today and to just have an altar call and pray for the sick. I also know that God's word is powerful and that it prepares the heart. And it sounds like God is already speaking to you and you're being obedient. And coming up and doing things that are very difficult. It's difficult to get up on the stage and address people on the microphone. So I know that, where did you go? There you are. that you were trying to be obedient. So I appreciate that. I'll just make it really brief. Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And what I want to point out is that they were already doing their regular schedule. It says at the hour of prayer, it was something that they already had appointed. It was already something that was in their schedule. They were going about their regular business, and they were confronted with somebody who had need. And I just want to remind us that there's nothing wrong with our regular schedules, that God has purpose in our jobs, has purpose in everything that we do. Even coming to church for the hour of prayer, for the hour of service, or whatever it might be. But there's hurt and dying people around there, and get going. They went among people, and when they saw somebody who was begging, they didn't just walk by him. They gave him something that was within them. And that is what we have as well. I think we all have stories of times where we've stopped and we've helped somebody. And we also have stories, probably even more stories, about the times that we didn't, because we were busy, we were running late, whatever the case may be. That God, most of the time, does things when we're going about our own business. And it's about being obedient. It's about hearing his voice. It was just their regular routine. God can do amazing things in your regular routine. You don't have to do something amazing, something out of character. God wants to do things in simple ways, and he uses you among the people that you're at. It's by no mistake or no chance. There is no such thing as just happenstance that God appointed this man to be here. It says that he was crippled from birth, that he was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. It says in chapter 4, verse 22, that he was over 40 years old. So for over 40 years, this man was crippled. Not just crippled where he needed crutches, crippled to where he had to be carried everywhere. And he was laid at the gate Beautiful in front of the temple. This is a picture of hopelessness. There's many here today that there's no hope. You feel no hope, whether it's emotional or spiritual or physical, that there's no hope. God always has hope. And he has things that he understands and the things that he's doing that we sometimes do not see. This man had no hope. He was carried there every single day, most likely. The interesting thing is, for 40 years, most likely, he was placed in this location, or at least a great many of years. That means Jesus most likely walked by him. Why did Jesus not heal him? This probably wasn't the first day that Peter and John walked by him either. It's hopelessness, and they reached down into this guy's hopelessness and showed him the hope of glory. Notice he's at the temple gates and not inside the temple, not inside the temple court, Solomon's colonnade. He was outside of the gates, most likely because he was not permitted to enter, because he was broken. And their spiritual pride would look at that as a weakness and as perhaps his parents sinned or he sinned. That was the Hebrew thought, that if you're crippled, that means you sinned or your parents sinned, therefore he could not come into the temple. The temple represented the presence of God, the house of God. Here's this man, broken and hopeless, and he's sitting outside of the presence of God, the gates of the house of God, with God's people walking by him every day, and he remains crippled and hopeless. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." Again, I mentioned, it's very possible that Peter and John have walked by him many times. It's possible that Jesus did, but God has his own timing. And we're going to see what this miracle actually did. As amazing as it is that a man who was over 40 years old never, ever, ever walked, much less jumped, got up and was jumping around. As amazing as that is, that's the small part of the story. So God's timing. He says, "Look at us." Most likely, he was ashamed because of his condition. And the people that were holy, the men and women of God who were coming to the temple in prayer, he couldn't make eye contact with. Maybe because of his own shame. maybe because of his own culture, that you couldn't make eye contact. So he's looking down, and I'm sure he's just looking down and saying, alms for the poor. Do you have anything? And he's looking down. And Peter and John said, look at us. Give us your attention. Almost as if to say, look at us. We're different. We're not going to just walk by you any longer. Give me your attention. I want to ask you, I want to challenge all of us. Are we different? Does our presence at work cause people to look at us and realize we're different? Do we realize that we're different? And because we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we too can say, look at us. Give me your attention. I have something for you. Notice what it says. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, verse 4. Then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I believe we can take a page from this man's book, and we need to expect something from God. I want to expect this morning that at the end, we're going to call people up and we're going to lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, pray for them, and they're going to be healed. Arlene just found out that she has brain cancer once again. We're going to call her forward. We're going to pray for her and believe that that cancer will be removed in Jesus' name. Not because of anything we've done, not because of our holiness, our godliness, our good singing, our good speaking. None of that. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. He expected to get something. Are we expecting to get something? If you come and you expect to just be left alone, you don't want to open up yourself for anybody to speak into your life, then you're going to get exactly what you expected. Nobody's going to talk to you. No one's going to speak into your life. God himself will not breathe new life into you because you're not expecting it. You're not open for it. If you're expecting, you're saying, yes, please. If you're not expecting it, you come here just to do your duty, perhaps. This man was stationed outside of the gates. Why? Partly because these people had money going into the temple, and partly because they felt like they had to give to the poor, otherwise they weren't righteous. This man was possibly taking advantage of that, sure. But he had no other choice. And the people that walked by year after year, day after day, when they gave something, I'm sure they felt good about themselves. I gave him something. Gave him some money. I gave him some change. Peter and John were different. And they were able to say, look at us. We're different. Get ready. Get ready for what we have. Maybe Peter and John walked by him millions of times before, but notice this is right after the day of Pentecost. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They realize the presence that is indwelling them. The active presence of the Holy Spirit. They had something to give. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. I don't have what you're looking for. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. I'm here to tell you today that we have what they had. We tend to look at the book of Acts and say, wow, if only. But we have what they had. We do. We have it. It needs to be awakened in us. It needs to be fanned into flame. It needs to be stirred up, certainly. But we have what they had. And I want to talk about what they had. They had the authority of Jesus Christ. Notice what they invoked. They invoked, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This was not an incantation like witchcraft, that if you say the right things, something right will happen. No. They invoked his authority. They didn't say, I'm so righteous and therefore I want you to be healed. They said, in the name of Jesus, on his character, on his person, in his power, and in his authority, get up and walk. Notice something else too. They didn't pray. Now, I'm not saying they weren't in the spirit of prayer. Notice they were walking to the hour of prayer. So I'm not saying, but they didn't even stop to say, Lord, what is your will in this situation? God, I just ask that, which there's nothing wrong with that. But evidently, today, they heard God speak to them and say, tell him to get up and walk in my name. We have the authority of Jesus. Matthew 28, I've been mentioning almost every week that I've been preaching the gospel accounts of the Great Commission. Why? Because we see in the early part of the book of Acts, it coming to fruition. We see they're being obedient to it. So we too need to be obedient to it. And we need to see this is what it looks like to walk it out. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now don't take it as all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. But it's been given to Jesus, and Jesus lives within you. Based on his authority, in his name, in his protection, in his power, we do have access to all authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And then he says, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In essence, you know what Peter and John were saying to this lame man? You've been lame for 40 years. You don't know what it looks like, what it feels like to walk. I'm telling you right now that Jesus Christ is still alive in us. And Jesus says, get up and walk. When he says, in the name of Jesus, that's basically what Peter is saying. The Jesus that empowers us, that lives within us, indwells us, says, get up and walk. The active presence of Jesus Christ, the living Christ, through the Holy Spirit, lives within us, indwells in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives within us. Guys, we hear this all the time, but I don't think we're getting it. I don't think I get it. I don't think I understand it, and I don't think you do either. The Spirit of the living God that created you and me, created the earth, the Spirit that hovered over the waters of the earth at creation, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives within us. They also had the power and signs of Jesus. Did Jesus ever cause a lame man to walk again? Yeah, he did. And we have that as well. It indwelled Peter and John. It does us as well. That same power. Mark's version of the Great Commission says this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany. These signs will accompany. That means they go with. They're part of the package. I'm telling you to go, but I'm giving you signs. I'm giving you wonders. I'm giving you my power. I'm giving you my authority. The things that I did, you too will do. Greater things will you do. To those who believe in my name, notice what they did. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. In his name. They accompany us. All we do is we do it by his authority. We realize that Jesus is living within us through his Holy Spirit, and we have the power to tell somebody to stand up and walk. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. It's just the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in the Great Commission. Matthew's version says, lo, I'll be with you always. This version says, this is how I'm with you. And I also want to talk about their presence. They're not anywhere in the same ballpark as Jesus Christ. Neither are we. But he lives within us, right? The most important thing is Jesus' presence was there and healing was available. Can I just say that we have to be present as well? That our presence is important? I really want to stress the point that they probably walked by this guy several times. And that wasn't the right time. It's possible there was other times where they prayed for people and there wasn't instant healing. Just as you and I lay hands on the sick, sometimes we see them instantly recover, sometimes we don't. And it's really easy for us to then blame our lack of faith. As if faith is a currency that we purchase healing with. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, certainly. But it's the power of God through Jesus Christ that purchases healing, not our faith. Their presence, they were present. They said, look at us. Nobody else talked to the man. Nobody else wanted to look at the guy in the eyes. They wanted to just throw some money in his jar so that they could go about their business and feel good about themselves. They didn't want to interact with him. Peter and John, what they had to give was everything that Jesus, everything that the Holy Spirit is because he indwells them. But they also said, we'll be here too. We have to do that. I was with Charlie and Mandy when they went through a very, very difficult time in their life. They had a daughter, Sarah, who was, she wasn't a preemie. It's a hard situation to describe, but she was born and quickly died after birth. And myself and a few others in here from the church were a part of that. And I'll be honest with you, there was a part of, we felt a little helpless. Here's how. Because we're praying and we're believing with as much faith as I've ever had for anything, to be honest with you, that God was going to rise up and cause this brand new baby to live. I believed it in the deepest part of my soul. But she died. And all of us were huddled together and we're encouraging Mandy and Charlie and we're praying. Oh my God, we're praying. But you know what we did have to give? We had to give our prayers, but also our presence. We were there. We were there. Don't overlook that in this story. They were there. What if the ending wasn't the guy leapt up? He got up on his feet and he had strength. What if the only thing he had to go by was somebody cared enough to look at me in the eyes? The Ruth House girls, we saw their amazing testimonies. Part of that was because Jonna and thank you, Rebecca and others are present in their life. God has his own timing. God has his own reasons. Can we at least be present and use as much faith, use as much wisdom, hear from God the best that we can in the situation? Let me guarantee you something. If you're present, you have a better chance of hearing from God and affecting change, affecting healing in a person's life than if you're not with them. Because they gave what they had. You know what happened? Let's keep reading. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Guys, we're not out of the equation. Do you remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead after 4 days? He came out of the tomb. And you know what Jesus did? He turned to everybody else and said, unwrap him. Take his grave clothes off. That's the church's responsibility, to reach out a helping hand and say, get up in the name of Jesus Christ. It's his power that's healing you. It's my presence and my being a part of your life that's helping you to your feet. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. A man who is over 40 years old, who has never stood, never walked, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Because they gave what they had, the presence of the Holy Spirit living within them and their presence being there, a man was instantly healed and transformed. Instantly. Then that man worshiped Jesus. What were we created to do? Worship Jesus. The story can end there and we go away very happy, but it doesn't end there. Verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to. everybody in your life, Ruth House Girls, recognize you as the woman who used to. They recognize all of us as the man, the woman, the child that used to. Fill in the blank. There's something different. They're no longer doing that any longer. They're no longer in that condition. They used to be. And I recognize that person. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. Isn't it ironic that they sat, laid, this man who cannot walk and was considered ugly to the spiritually prideful people that walk through, they sit him at a gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. People recognized him and the change. What did they do? They worshiped Jesus. Where does it say that? They were filled with wonder and amazement. Those are words of worship. They may not have been able to completely, in that moment in time, direct it to Jesus, but they were already sensing there was worship happening. They were amazed and they were in wonder. Why? Because Peter and John said, I'm not going to just walk by you. I'm going to give you what I have. That we all have. Guys, don't go away from here thinking Peter and John were some spiritual giants and that we'll never ever get to that place. We have what they had. Then you know what happened? We're not going to get into it this week. We'll get into it next week. Demonstration set the platform for proclamation. Peter preaches his second sermon. He says, you see that guy? It's not because of, you can skip down to verse 12. Then Peter saw this. He said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? He went on to preach the gospel to them, to tell them about their sin, to tell them about their need, to tell them about the same Jesus who effected mighty change, instant change in this man's life, can in theirs as well. You know what happened? 5,000 people were saved, according to Acts 4:4. The small part was this man who had never walked for 40 plus years got to walk and run and jump like anybody else. That's the small part. The large part is 5,000 people came into the kingdom of God. Why? Because they were obedient. They gave what they had. My question this morning to you is that we are the body of Christ, and when are we going to stop walking by? When are we going to realize that we have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth resident within us? I'm not saying we're going to be a Benny Hinn type healer and everybody we lay hands on is going to recover. I'm also not saying that either. Maybe that's what God has for us. We won't know until we get among people and realize there's something different about us. We're not just going to go about our business any longer. We're going to realize what is resident within us. Could I have the worship team come up? Let me give you a mic.